I shared with you a little bit earlier about there was a scripture that God gave, and I want to take you there with me, which is John chapter 15. So if you'll go to St. John chapter 15, the Gospel. And I remind you that we were talking about God's Word to pray for those who have betrayed you. And that can be their perception as well as yours. Do you hear me? It can be on both sides. Betrayal can happen on both sides. And the anger that usually results from it brings division. And God is in charge. God is in charge. So, verse 17 is where I want you to kind of take a peek first. This is what I command you, that you love one another. Notice it's a command, it's not an option. It's a command. This is what I command you, that you love one another. Verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So here's the words of your master, your Lord, your King, your great Lion of Judah. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19 says, if you belong to the world would treat you with affection and would love you as its own. But, because you are not of the world, are no longer one with it, but I have chosen, selected you out of the world. The world hates you and detests you, says the Amplified Version. The detestable believer. The detestable believer. Did you ever watch on the news programs how some will be talking about the conservatives, and they do it with such anger and such hatred that you're actually surprised at the amount of venom that is literally coming out of their hearts? Am I the only one?
No.
Okay. It's literally vicious. And they respond to a word of restoration or healing or a miraculous thing with, like, disgust. Like, how could you even think that God could heal? So now, if you go back, it says, if you belong to the world would treat you with affection and would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, are no longer one with it, but I have chosen, selected you out of the world. And the world hates and detests you. Now I've got news for you. It's one thing to understand it when it's happening out of the world, but when it's happening out of the world in your family, whoa, the boxing gloves come on. Well, I'll fix that problem. How many have ever tried to fix it? How many found that it wasn't very successful? Okay. The purpose of the test is to change you and to change me. So go back to verse 1. Again, I'm using the Amplified. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So if Jesus is the vine, consider a vision in your heart, in your mind, in your mind's eye. A beautiful vineyard, and it starts off with roots and a wonderful big vine, and a vine can cover quite a piece of territory. I can remember going to Julie's house in the backyard. Somebody had put up two, I believe it was two vines, wasn't it? Just one on each corner, and then it covered a whole trestle that they had built, or somebody built, and it was, I would say, almost the size of this whole corner. And say at least a 12 by 15 area with two vines. And there were grapes. It was awesome. Again, who's the vine? Coming out of the dirt is Jesus. The Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, listen to that, that stops bearing, he's cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Well, now, if you can consider one of your arms being cut off because it's not producing any grapes, can you imagine what it's going to feel like when that thing is cut off? Yeah. Ouch. Big time ouch. And, you know, sometimes we underestimate what the Father is doing. And I'm the first to tell you that I don't always see the Father's hand in this. I think I did something wrong. Because the accuser's whispering in my ear, if you had done this, this, and this, nothing like that would have ever happened to you. After all, God is love. But it's really showing you a picture of God being tough love. Amen? Because he says very, very clearly, okay, any branch in me that's in the body of Christ, in the church, that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch. Now, those of you who are inside are saying, wait a minute, if I got out, maybe he'd stop cutting. How many have thought of that one? Yeah! I mean, I'm so tired of this cutting away. God, it hurts. But what is he looking for? He's looking for bigger, better fruit. Okay? To make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. So there's a procedure of growing in maturity in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's looking for. He won't let you off the hook until you realize his intent. If you start realizing his intent, it's not going to hurt so bad. Amen? Three. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. So now, he is telling them, you're ready, you're mature, because of the word which I have given you. What am I doing today? I'm giving you the word. His instruction goes verse 4, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, vitally united to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Cut and dry. Clean. Instruction. Number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. The word abundant is in there. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do anything you want. You can do whatever pleases you. That's man's opinion. But God's opinion says you can do nothing. So those of you who have had a temptation to pull away just to stop the pain, not a good idea. Not a godly idea. Verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out as a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. In case you've got a thought that you've been burning and you're still inside the church, I've got news for you. You're going to bear greater fruit. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, not in your brain. My brother a few months ago reminded you. He's sitting way back there hiding in the corner. Your heart and your brain are two different things. You can have knowledge of the Word of God in your heart and not let anybody steal it, but your brain is going to go, I can really tell you, scatterbrain. Going to go everywhere but the truth. And you're going to have to declare the truth out of your heart. You're going to have to declare the Word of the promises out of your heart in order for that to really become a reality for you. If you think you can do it just by thinking about it, it's not going to happen. Whatever you declare on earth will be declared in the heavens. Amen. Now, verse 7 again. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Shall be. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And you show and prove yourself to be true followers of mine. Do you think this lesson is easy to digest? Absolutely not. See, there's a fake Christianity out there. And that fake Christianity is that God came down to produce a Santa Claus Jesus. If you be good, you'll get everything you want, whenever you want it, to please yourself and to get happy for at least one day. Call Christmas morning.
What happens the rest of the time of the year?
They flounder. They flounder. Because you see, there is the pruning process that's going on inside of you, even as I speak. It continues. It bears fruit. But it's not always instantaneous fruit. There are times that I've had to hold on, and I can remember one particular word of knowledge that the Lord had given me. It wasn't somebody else that gave it to me. God gave it to me. And every single week, I would declare openly, God is going to finish this miracle. And I'm thanking God to finish a miracle. Because you see, God had to produce a miracle. In order for Him to get the glory, that was the only way it was going to happen. By a miracle from Him. And there are some of us that we kind of linger for a little while. We hold on to the promise for a little while. And then we take a nosedive. Well, it's just too hard to be a Christian. How many have ever had the thought? It's just too hard. The vision my sister gave you is ride the trail and ride the rail. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to go in. It's going to go out. It's going to go under the earth. You're going to feel like you're in hell sometimes. Come on, how many of you have tasted a little bit of the hell? Thank you. See, if you know that it's part of the process, you can hold on to that promise. And you don't have to give up. Catching on? Okay? The pruning is difficult, but the fruit is going to be that much more awesome, that much greater. Verse 8. When you produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourself to be true followers of mine. Woo-hoo! Prove yourself to be true followers of mine. Look it. See, the proof is in the pudding. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. He's not saying apart from me. He's saying with me. 10, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. So he's been doing you a favor. He's telling you how he survived. Amen? Okay. Verse 11. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Again, a commandment. Not just a feeling. Well, I can love this one because they gave me a present for Christmas. Woo-hoo! Maybe the one that couldn't afford to buy you a thing is the one that needs your love the most. Maybe the one that is stuck in some deception that has hurt you is now in need of your intercession to restore them. You don't know whom God is going to use to set you free. You don't know who was used to set you free from the bondage you were in. You don't have a clue who prayed you into the kingdom sometimes. Because God will keep it a secret because it's none of your business. But somebody had to pray you in. And you don't need to advertise, oh, I prayed this one into the kingdom and look at how holy they are. Well, you be proud all you want. You're going to fall flat on your face. Yes or no? Because pride becomes what? God is against the proud. James chapter 4. Okay. I'm so godly. Oh, I'm so holy. Woo! Well, get a clue who you're serving. Yes?
You know, there's many times I'd like to think it was me. But in reality, the Lord could have intercessors across the world praying this person in. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I
think it's a combination, you're right, because it's the body ministry. It's multiples of people interceding to bring forth our harvest. And he's going to do it. Verse 13. No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friend. Give up your life so that your wife can make it to heaven. Give up your life so that your husband can make it. Give up your life. Give up your attitude that your child may come up a little bit. Give up your way of thinking because your friend in school just needs you to intercede for them. Give up what you think is so needed in your life and give it to Jesus. Offer it up as a living sacrifice. And you know what? You're going to be told you're crazy. You're crazy! Fasting and prayer? Huh? That's old-fashioned. Really? Verse 14. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. It's conditional. That friendship can be pulled away if you become selfish. And I know I'm hitting hard. And you know what? If this is a day of pruning, glory to the Most High God. Let the branch fall off that you don't need. So that you can bear greater fruit and bigger fruit. And those who need to humble themselves, pray that God will help them out. Because you know how hard it is to humble yourself and bend your knee? I don't like bowing. I mean, after all, I'm holy. Yeah, you're so full of holes you can't even see her. Not going to say anymore. Yeah, you're blind. And you don't even know it. Verse 15. Now, why did you come to church today?
If I heard the sermon first, I would
have. At least if you were on the internet, you could shut the volume down. I told you, he talked to me this morning. So if you have a problem with the vine dresser, talk to Papa. Take it up with the guy who's pruning. Verse 15. I do not call you servants. This one, I want you to really take in because some of you received this word today because it was bouncing in front of me. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer. For the servant does not know what his master is doing or working out. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from Him. If you receive that word today, you better write this verse down because I'll tell you right now, your old mindsets are going to come back and they're going to try to make you a slave again. God is not looking for slaves. He's looking for friends. Tell your neighbor, God's not looking for another slave. He's looking for friends. And that's me. All right. How many felt that going down? Alright, you know why? Because this slavery attitude is not of God. Jesus was making sure that these guys were going to become what? Givers of life. Not givers of the law. They were going to be lovers of men. Not giving instructions to kill and destroy. Verse 16. Very important. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, He may give it to you. Oh, wow! You know, the Father's pleasure is to give His child everything He loves. Everything. And you know how I like stories because they become real for me when there's a little story attached. My youngest grandson had a dream in his heart from the time he was 14. That's Jimmy. He wanted an RX-7. A beautiful little red sports car. Convertible. And I knew that he wanted this with every ounce of his being. And he had saved his money every Christmas, every birthday, put money in the bank to buy his special car. Well, now he's 16 and three quarters. Or, excuse me, 16 and a half. Got his license. He can drive, but he hasn't got his dream car yet. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. So I'm praying and I'm saying to the Lord, you know, this little boy suffered and went through a divorce with his parents, was broken because of all kinds of stuff that happened. And I'm not going to go into that, but Lord, if you could just give him the desire of his heart. Lord Jesus, if you could just give him the desire of his heart. You know, it would really be nice. And one day I'm driving home from Ludlow on the back road. And what do I see parked on the side of the road coming down the hill but an RX-7? It was about 4 years old at the time. And I mean, Papa in me slammed on the brakes and pulled to the side. Wow! This could be God's answer. So I looked at the car, walked around it a couple times, prayed and said, Lord, am I supposed to open this subject matter up? And I heard right down the phone number. So believe it or not, this gentleman, who was a police officer, had bought this car new. It had very low mileage. And needed to sell it because they were moving to East Long Meadow. And the new home was not going to have room to keep the car. Well, if you think that this 16-year-old was about 17 feet high, you're absolutely right. He looked at this car and we went out for a ride because he gave us the keys. I mean, this young man was as tall as you could make him. We drove this thing down the street and it purred like a little kitten on its way home for lunch. Oh, man. Can we do this, Pep? Can we do this? I said, well, you've got X amount of money in the bank. Yeah. And I don't remember the numbers. But all I know is, a week and a half later, we had a registration and a number plate, and the car was in the driveway. Wow. It was so awesome. And, of course, his dad gave several instructions because he was going to prune him. If he didn't behave accordingly, the keys were going to be removed. That would be pruning, correct? Yeah. Pruning? Cutting away? Take away? Anybody know what a minus sign means? So he gave him strict instructions, you're not to do this, this, and this, and guess what the kid does? Within 3 days, we had a removal problem. He had given a ride to his friend on a slippery day down to Ludlow, which he was not allowed to leave town. Damaged the car a little bit. Damaged his pride till you have no idea. Okay? And the keys went back to Papa. It was such a sad week. A whole week without the vehicle. This boy was dying. He was riding the rail, but it was underground. He really was. He was under the ground. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we finally got the car fixed. And his dad said, now look, you got to be careful because I'm not letting you go free. It's going to be conditional for a season. How many know? That's how you bring up children. Well, your Heavenly Father is doing the same thing to you today. He's pruning you. He's cutting off some of the things you don't need. Or something that you're misusing. So, several months go by. He's doing quite well. And there's snow on the ground. Yeah. And he hit the bridge. Now, miraculously, he didn't get hurt. But the car was totaled. Well, I've been praying all this time, saying, God, what is wrong with this kid? Why can't he think straight? What's wrong with him? Well, guess what? He's now weeping, and we're crying together, asking God for grace. Because his father's not very happy. His grandfather's trying to survive so that this boy will stay alive. And we're both crying together. saying, Lord, what is the problem? And I get a question that bounces in my head. I said, Jimmy, why are you in love with an RX-7? Well, he says, I've been playing this video game, and every time I play the game, I play with an RX-7. And I says, and what happens if you hit an abutment? The car flips up and recreates itself in a matter of minutes. If you hit a bridge, it gets damaged, it flips up, and it gets recreated.
Oh, no.
Oh my God. This kid's playing a video game with a real car. I'm not kidding you. I cried. I literally cried. And I said, Jimmy, can we pray for you? Can we anoint you with oil? Can we get you out of the video game into the real world?
He said yes.
He said yes. And we prayed and we asked God for grace. Didn't bring back the car, but it solved the problem. He never had an accident after that.
Wow.
Why? Because you're riding a game. Life is not a game. Why did I tell you this? Because I'm telling you real facts that a word of knowledge changed a young man. A bright thought from God changed him from reckless driving to a great driver. What am I saying to you? God wants to change you and me. He wants to trim off some of this stuff that you do in games, in life. And keep the garbage away and recreate you in the image of the real Son of the Most High God,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Bow your heads. I've given you enough. Heavenly Father, you've been trimming these people. And you've been getting great fruit out of them and more to come. Father, give them the courage to trust you, to make friends out of them. Not to have them see you from a perspective that you're a father with a great big stick. My heart was to give this young boy the best gift that any grandfather could provide. And God, you did it. But there was something wrong in the boy's heart. And God was the one that had to bring some kind of situation where he would be broken in order to be healed and delivered. Father, don't let the waste that has been cut away be a hindrance. Let the waste be burned up and keep the good fruit. Keep the good fruit of their lives as we go forth in this new season, especially being prepared for a brand new year. Father God, let's cut away 2008 and be prepared for the new wine in 2009. Yes, our friend Doug Fortune, new wine for 2009. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Say new wine,
new wine.
For 2009.
2009.
All things are cut away.
From 2008.
But brand new wine,
brand new wine.
For 2009.
2009.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.